Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Welcome to the Scare Floor.
Wow. How do I become a scarer?
I'm officially a college student.
Mike Wazowski.
James B. Sullivan.
Like Bill Sullivan?
He's my dad.
I expect big things from you.
I just need to ace my classes, graduate with honors, and become the greatest scarer ever.
Were you kissing my hand?
And what about you with all your shedding?
I don't shed.
Really?
The star player has just arrived.
You're my hero!
Yeah! Slow down, Squirt.
This is a party for scare students.
I am a scare student.
I mean, for scare students who actually, you know, have a chance.
Just wait, Hotshot. I'm gonna scare circles around you this year.
A little bit of the trailer of the movie Monsters University. The first one was charming. It was cute. I remember it. Pixar turns out some of the most charming movies there are. What about the second one? We talked some time back when the first movie came out about the virtue that you find in these Pixar films. Does it carry over into a prequel like Monsters University? Robert Velarde joins us. He's a writer, educator, and philosopher, and author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be on.
What was the strongest feature of the first one, even though we're talking here now about a prequel, the first movie, Monsters, Inc.? What was, in terms of virtue, its strongest feature, and does it carry over into this prequel?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, Monsters, Inc. has came out in 2001, so it's been 12 years. A bit unusual to take that long for a related film, but what I identified in my book, The Wisdom of Pixar, in relation to Monsters, Inc., was the virtue of humor, which we don't really think that much in terms of a virtue, but I connected it to really to joy and delight. And, you know, Christians kind of get the bad impression of, well, we take everything too seriously. You know, even some films about Christ, you know, he's a very solemn, serious person. And, of course, there were those elements. But, you know, we do have sort of a theology of humor, even within Christianity, that we tend to neglect. So Monsters, Inc. was a very funny movie, I think one of Pixar's funniest, and certainly played up that aspect of joy and delight.
Did it carry over into this one?
Sure, I think so. I think part of the monster's world, you know, is that humor. It's, you know, some very funny characters. You've got, you know, Billy Crystal voicing one and John Goodman voicing another character. And it's just a very colorful world. You know, I read one review of the movie that said it looked like Fruity Pebbles, you know, this very colorful palette they have in the film. So it's very festive. Certainly a lot of good fun is had. A different sort of setting, of course, as it's a prequel, and you've got Mike and Sully, the two main monster characters, you know, just starting out in college.
What is the premise, then? Give us the kind of the sweep of, without giving away too much of the plot, what's the premise?
Sure. It's very simple. You know, you kind of think of it as a typical college type of film, maybe sort of a, you know, Revenge of the Nerds meets Pixar style. It's very kid-friendly. And Mike and Sully, the two monster characters, are just starting out in college, where the title of the film is from, Monsters University, trying to, you know, fit into their major. They're scare majors. They're wanting to learn how to scare kids in order to generate power. Of course, that was the premise of the previous movie. And just sort of trying to fit into college, you know, the whole scene of meeting new people, learning how to adapt to your classes, trying to get along with different people, rivalries, that sort of thing.
Is it a buddy film in that sense?
Oh, certainly. You know, I think you get a lot of that in Pixar movies. You sort of have the buddy aspect in the Toy Story films with Woody and Buzz Lightyear. And a lot of that takes place in Monsters University. The difference being that Mike and Sully are not particularly hitting it off too well. They start out as rivals, and then for a common cause, they kind of are thrust together and have to work together and learn to get along.
If I remember correctly, what would be sequentially the second film that came before, that picks them up when they're actually doing what they're doing, has the story arc where they start out being, you know, trying to scare the daylights out of little kids at night, and then for this kind of unbeknownst evil purpose. Is any of that element present here in the prequel?
No, not really. There's a couple of scenes where you see Monsters Incorporated, which, of course, is the factory that produces energy that, like you said, in the first movie, they got that from the screams of children, which ends up, by the end, they learn a way to harness laughter and use that instead, which is actually more powerful than the screams. But there's not a whole lot of Monsters Incorporated, actually, in this one. It's a lot. Majority of it is set on campus. There's sort of a competition going on between the houses, and you know, there's the rivalry that goes on and how they get through that.
What has Pixar been able to capture here through animated films, where they have made, I mean, absolutely some of the, I said charming, but some of the most endearing films, my favorite being Up, where they have been able to do this, where other animated companies are trying to aspire to this, but often fall short? What has Pixar got? What's its formula?
Well, Pixar has been around a while in terms of this sort of development of these kinds of films. You know, of course, they released the first completely computer-generated film in 1995 with Toy Story. So 18 years later, they've certainly made a lot of progression. As far as the technical brilliance, it's definitely there. It's wonderful. If you see the short film that begins before Monsters University, it's called The Blue Umbrella, and there's some amazing shots in that that look real. They look photorealistic, but they're computer-generated. So Pixar definitely has the technical background to pull this off. And they do have an emphasis on story. They very much concentrate on that. You know, some of these movies, you know, we see them coming out every year, but Pixar spends anywhere from 4, 5, 6 years working on every film. So Monsters University has been in process for a while. So I think they're known for taking their time, whereas some other animation studios, say, for instance, DreamWorks might crank out 2 or 3 films a year. Pixar typically is just 1 a year. So they take the time to get it as right as they can.
Give us some examples of the virtues that we see in kind of their cardinal list of films, Pixar.
Well, they have so many. You know, it's difficult to choose. One of my favorites is The Incredibles. You know, you can look at that from a number of angles. Of course, that's the superhero-based one. You know, touches on virtues such as courage, and also there's a lot of family themes going on. You've got friendship in the Toy Story movies. Even topics like justice in A Bug's Life, you know, what is right and what is wrong. You have adventure going on in Cars. Ratatouille is very much focused on creativity and good ambition as opposed to bad ambition. Up, which you mentioned, is one of my most favorite recent Pixar films that's entirely original in the sense that some of the recent ones haven't particularly been as original. You know, Brave was, which came out last year. But as far as one of my favorites, you know, Up definitely emphasizes the marriage relationship and love. You know, everybody loves that short little 3-minute clip in Up that is better than a lot of feature-length films in their entirety. Just the way Pixar is able to capture some of these ideas is just great.
What do they see that so much of the rest of Hollywood and other filmmakers don't see? Not only about telling stories, but also about the fact that people actually do want to hear these stories and see these stories told. What do they realize?
Well, Pixar is unique in that they're not geographically, for one, located in the Hollywood area. Pixar is separate from that sort of milieu, I guess, of Hollywood. They're located in Northern California. You know, if you look at the history of Pixar, they came out of Lucasfilm, were purchased by Steve Jobs of Apple fame in 1986. You know, for $5 million, which, you know, wasn't exactly a whole lot of capital for Steve at the time. And 20 years later, they're purchased by Disney for more than $7 billion. So I think the geographic separation from Hollywood is one advantage that they have. Another, you know, which some would argue, is that they, for a long time, were independent. You know, they've been part of Disney now since 2006. So, you know, whether that's going to influence them negatively or not remains to be seen. But, you know, I think their emphasis on storytelling and taking their time and really just trying to tell a good story sets them apart. And, of course, they're not the only ones in Hollywood trying to do that. But we do see a lot of people in Hollywood, a lot of films, I should say, that almost sort of sell out, you might put it that way. If you look at Francis Schaeffer's grid of evaluating art, you know, one of his aspects for doing that is, you know, is the artist being true to himself or herself? In other words, they're not selling out. And I think Pixar has had a good balance of trying to be true to themselves as artists.
Robert Velarde is a writer, educator, and philosopher, author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. You can read Robert's blog and purchase The Wisdom of Pixar at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. Pastor Herb Miller is first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's written recently about the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. The church is remembering that today. It is, well, I will say there are a lot of dates in the era of the Reformation that are important, one of them being October 31st, but that's not the most important date, the date of the nailing of the 95 Theses, maybe the most memorable and picturesque. This one, I think, is probably the most important, the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Without this, there really would not have been a formal Reformation. Without these princes assembled before the emperor to say what it is they believe and to risk their lives in saying it, we really wouldn't have a Reformation. So we'll start talking about the presentation of the Augsburg Confession in hour two of Issues, Etc. Pastor Herb Miller will be our guest. After that, we'll talk about a bill in Texas banning late-term abortions. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkins and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.